In my conversation with Charlie Pierce last week, he mentioned one of the golfers looking to supplant Tiger Woods as number one in the world. His mispronunciation of said golfer's name inspired Charlie Bell, who hears only a game on WAMC in Albany, New York, to wax poetic. "Do you know," our host asked, "after Tiger's long run, who'll inherit the title of world's number one?" Charlie paused and said, "Maybe that Westwood guy, Lee, or some dude I don't know, Martin Kamer, tee hee. Hey, it's only a name, and I'm just a lame rhymer, but the German's got game, and his name's Martin Kamer." As old friend Ned Martin, late the voice of the Red Sox, used to say, not too shabby. My conversation last week with Sports Illustrated editor Terry McDonald, the guy who's responsible for picking the cover of the magazine each week, provoked several responses. Mr. McDonald maintained that the so-called Sports Illustrated cover jinx began when Oklahoma, proclaimed unbeatable on the cover in 1957, lost. Nancy Kriplin was an editorial trainee at Time, Inc., the magazine's parent company, during the mid-50s, and she wrote to say, "I would date the jinx to something darker. I remember we began talking about it shortly after Jill Kinmont appeared on the cover in January 1955, and that same week had a horrendous crash which left her paralyzed." Linda Mitchell was also responding to that interview when she wrote, "Bill, I hold you in the highest esteem for trying ever so gently to lead Mr. McDonald into an admission of institutional sexism, but I'm sorry you didn't nail his arse to the wall with more vigor. Give me Annika over Tiger any day of the week. She's in great company with all the other amazing women whose athletic accomplishments and honorable lives have been ignored by Sports Illustrated." Of last week's Halloween tale about the allegedly haunted hotel in Milwaukee, which is home to teams visiting the Brewers, Bill Wright wrote, "The only question I had following the wonderful story about the Pfister Hotel concerns Charles Pfister himself. Was he a baseball fan? Maybe he is still trying to help out the hometown club." And finally, to all the listeners who've recently asked about the music on the program, you can peruse each week's selections on the music blog at onlyagame.org. You can also get in touch with us there or by leaving a message on the listener line, 617-353-1860. And you can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Only A Game Radio. It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. Oliver Wyman, an international strategy consulting firm with 3,000 professionals worldwide. Oliver Wyman serves global 1,000 companies. OliverWyman.com. And Nuance, offering Dragon 11 speech recognition software for creating documents and emails and surfing the web all by speaking. At nuance.com. This is NPR.
Tonight, as part of the Eden Bridge Bonfire Society's celebration of Guy Fawkes Day, the Kent-based group will set aflame a 49-foot-high effigy of Manchester United's Wayne Rooney. The statue, which holds a bag of money, has been equipped with green Shrek-style ears to accentuate the soccer star's alleged resemblance to the cartoon ogre, and it has been packed with fireworks to ensure the ensuing blaze will disappoint no one. In the past, the Society has built and destroyed effigies of former Prime Minister Gordon Brown and model Katie Price. Of this year's effigy, Eden Bridge Bonfire Society member Charles Laver has said, "I hate football myself, so I'm quite happy to burn a footballer."